Okay, so my talk will go in this order. So we'll start from the word kinetic, then I go to averaging, and I go to lemma, which I hope to prove, and then I'll hope to show an application. Okay. So first of all, what is kinetic equations? So in a very general form, so we'll be looking at a quantity. I'll write it as f of x and v. So this will be a density. So that's something presumably non-negative. So x, let's say, is in Rm and v is in Rn. M does not have to be the same as m. And so x. We can think of x as a position in the position space. So v is a molecular velocity, and so so one particular kinetic model is for a gas of particles that have velocities v. So you try to describe them with a density, not the density in the physical space, but the density in the phase space of a particle. Okay, and so this x may also include time. So that's one of the reasons. So I make m different from n. So this x can be actually position and time. And so a general equation will be something like this: a vector field A. So A is from Rn into Rm. Dot product with the gradient of f equals q. Okay, so that's the most abstract form of the equation. So A is a given function. So let's say smooth. So Q is the right-hand side, which will typically denote an interaction term. So that may be nonlinear and depend on F in some complicated way. But so from the beginning, so let's just look at this as a linear equation and think of Q as a given function as well. I will need a function that I will call psi, so that will be C infinity with compact support in Rn. And then the quantity of interest for a kinetic theory is what is a macroscopic density. So if you take F, the kinetic density, and you integrate it with respect to V with a certain test function, like this. So this quantity I will call rho psi, and I'm integrating. So this is integration over Rn. And so this is a microscopic density. Okay. So this is a general framework for many different problems. So Boltzmann equation, in rarefied gases or Maxwell's, Vlasov Maxwell equation for plasmas, or many other useful equations. So I'll show a lemma, which is the averaging lemma. Relatively old and well-known results. So the lemma in the formulation that I will be showing is basically due to Gauss, Lyons, Bertram, Sentis, 88, and so a similar, even more restricted formulation is due to Goshkov, 84, and it's been a huge industry. So there are practically books, or at least chapters in books, written about this type of argument. So I'll just show a basic formulation, so which is the following. So let's say let F and Q be let's say L2 in X and V and L1. So I'm allowed to take Fourier transform with no problem. Let's say that it satisfies this equation that I wrote. So let me take A of V, the vector field for simplicity, to be V, so other vector fields are possible. So N is the same as M, so the dimension is arbitrary. So then we have the following. So if you have V gradient F equals Q, say in the sense of distributions, then we have the following estimate. So I take the macroscopic density, so I take its H1/2 norm, and this is something that I can estimate in terms of F in L2 and Q in L2. Okay? So this is, first of all, it's a rather remarkable fact that you start with something that is in L2 space, solution in L2 and has a derivative in L2. You compute a macroscopic average like this, and the macroscopic average turns out to be more regular. Okay, so this may be or may not be surprising depending on your point of view. So this result has some very interesting applications. So I'll try to sketch the proof. Which I find in a way very pleasant and entertaining, unlike many other computations that appear in this business. So I'll try to do something that is nice. So for a proof, we have this equation. So we take the Fourier transform. So I'll write F of K and V. So the Fourier transform in X, like this, and then my macroscopic density will have the Fourier transform. So this is a function of K, which is integral of F X phi. This is an exercise in Fourier analysis, very, very transparent. So we take the Fourier transform of the equations, and then this is I k dot v times f equals q. Here. That's right, this is K. That's the same as here. Thanks. So F is by Fourier like this. So this is I K dot V. And so you see that for most of the directions of K, you divide by the inverse first power of K, so that adds one derivative to the function f. If something was in L2, should be in H1. However, we have something that, so this factor may be very small, which will give a small divisor. So for certain directions, so you have to basically split your space into two parts, and so this is case one, where let's say kv is greater than certain alpha of k that we'll choose times k, and case two, which is kv is less than this. Okay? So we're integrating over v with a function that has compact support, so this psi of v. So this is, say, a ball where the support of psi is contained. Say this is the V space, V1, V2. So for a given K, let's say K is here. So the good set would be something like this. So this K is one would correspond to this part. Okay, so this is the orthogonal complement of K, and so this is, I guess, 2 alpha. The size of this set of bad directions. Okay? Yeah, and then so we'll use different estimates for the good part. So let's call this set AK, and so this set is AK complement. So then basically we'll have this, so rho psi integral. Without integrals, I want to do this. I want to take the Fourier transform of rho, take the square. So this is integral f k d psi d square. This. So the first part, say one, must correspond to a k. And so for this I can use this formula. This is q k v divided by I k v psi. I need actually this square. Okay. And so here I can do something like this. So this is AK. So integral q k v integral psi over. So I'll just estimate everything by Cauchy-Schwarz. So this is the square. And this is the square, and this is kv square dv dv. So for each k fixed. And so similarly, so for rho psi 2, the second part, which corresponds to the ak complement, so the small part. So I'll just use the Cauchy-Schwarz directly. So this is ak f kv square integral psi dv ak complement, like this. And so I need the square. So very easy, very basic estimate. Okay, now this is a large set. So in this factor becomes small when I say decrease alpha. So this will be, so you can do the computation. So this is C over K square, 1 over alpha. So less than or equal to. Okay, so psi is a bounded function that we estimate as C. So there is a second power of K that we can pull out. And so the rest, when we do the integration, will give us 1 over alpha. And here, okay, so this part, we will be integrating the function psi over a small set. So this is less than or equal to constant times alpha. Okay? Just alpha. So it's just alpha. So again, so it's an enjoyable computation, so I recommend everybody to check if it works. Okay. So with these things, I just wanna show the final result. So as you can see, this is basically Fourier analysis and nothing else. So we choose alpha to be a constant over k. Okay, and then so this will be then c constant over k, and so this will be c constant over k. This. Okay, so this one is symmetrically. And then we write rho psi square multiplied by the first power of k to bring it to symmetric form. And we integrate in k. And so we do, so we gather the terms. And basically, so what comes out can be estimated in terms of two quantities. So one is the integral of q, and I integrate dx and dv, so I don't need the Fourier transform. this, and another one, which is the integral of f dx dv square. So it comes out as c times a square alpha over, let's see, I multiplied by okay, so I'll tell you what I got. So I checked it honestly, so this works. So b square alpha naught, okay, and then you minimize over alpha naught and you get 2 a b c. Okay, so so what have we discovered? So this integral over Rn, which is the same as Rm, is now something that has to do with the h 1/2 norm of the density, and so it's easy to see that the remaining part, so the L2 norm of the density is also estimated. So from this we get the estimate. Okay. So C is so in the computation that I did, so I didn't try to optimize it in any way. So there is the size of the support. Well, psi has to be a compactly supported function. So otherwise, just bit different. So it's the size of the support that enters this constant C, and the maximum of psi. So there are two things. And there are many versions that can be done to improve, but this is the basic argument. Okay. So this was dilemma. So extensions of this type of result, and there were many works done on this. So basically, I just mentioned some of the results. So so in this original paper of 88, so you can allow f and g to be LT functions, and then you get rho to be in a WSP space with some s dependent on p. And so this is for p between 1 and infinity. And there, so 1 and infinity are, in a way, pathological cases. So this effect breaks down for p equals 1, which is the interesting case, because so in kinetic theory you have a density which is has an L1 estimate naturally, but the other estimates are more complicated. So this is an interesting case. And so the reason why it breaks down is so for example we can take take q equals 0, so just the free transport equation. So, and let me just take it as a time-dependent kinetic equation, which would be something like this. Okay. And then, so for this, with appropriate initial data, and so let's say we take the initial data, which are delta function, say, at 0 in x, and delta function at some v0 in v. Okay, so some clump of particles at a single point moving with a single velocity, or basically some approximation of this function. And then, so the solution of this is f, so xvt is delta of x minus v0t, delta v0 of v. So that remains a delta function. And so for a delta function, you cannot get anything better than L1. So that's a simple reason why it wouldn't give any improvement in the case of L1. So however, the cases closer, the cases close to L1 are studied very extensively. And so again, so close to L1, and so this is Diperna and Lyons, and so more recently Gold, Saint-Germain, and other authors that I'm omitting. So this case of L1, basically, if you have the statement is like this: if you have a sequence that is weakly compact in L1, and so Q is say bounded in L1, so then rho psi will be strongly compact. You know what? Something like this. So you don't have any measurable gain, like this H1 half estimate is so it's compact, it means compactness in L2, and that's a very particular kind of compactness. It's a regularity estimate. So for cases close to L1, you still have some compactness, but it's very hard to quantify the amount of this gain. So this is more or less state of the art. And then my application. So this was a lemma that was not done by me, but so I'll show an application where I believe this sort of argument could be useful. So application. So the application has to do with the Boltzmann equation, so in one dimension in X. So Boltzmann equation in X. And so this is this particular kind. So first of all, my solution will be a function of X. So in this general setting that I showed, we may have so m-dimensional dependence. Say m equals 3. So v m equals 3, and so I have time which I may want to include in the X variable according to this, and the corresponding result holds. So I look at the case when the dimension on X, when the dependence on X is one-dimensional. So in another case, my solution does not depend on X2 and X3. Okay? Yeah, and in this case, the equation is the following. So the vector field is 1. And let me introduce the notation just for convenience. So the first component, let me call it psi. And the first component of X, I will call it just X. Okay, so then the vector field is 1 psi. And the equation is dt plus psi X F equals what I write as capital Q. So this is a certain nonlinear term. And it's rather complicated, so I'll just indicate what it is like. So this is the initial datum. And so Q of F is basically it's a quadratic expression. So taking into account binary collisions of particles that have velocity v and meet at the same position x. So the form is something like this. So F of I'll just show the V arguments, f of v prime, f of v star prime, minus f of v star, times a certain function of these arguments, so v, v prime, v star prime, dv prime, dv star prime, dv star. Okay, so just for the general reference, so there is no way I can explain in 5 minutes what this is, but basically it's a quadratic expression. So there are pointless products of densities at different v's like this, and so this is nonlinearity. And so what is especially important about this Q? So the behavior of Q is in some way controlled by the quantity that I may call rho, and so this is the integral of f x v t v. Okay, so the macroscopic density. And again, so let me simplify. So from the outset, so I'll simplify this by saying that this is zero if v is greater than some r. Okay, so basically, so v is molecular velocity. So I say that I don't want to look at particles flying at too high speed because, first of all, we expect that there are very few of these particles. We don't want. And second of all, because it creates complications, so I wanted to look at this as a model that is simpler. So basically, in this function, I say that if v square plus v star square is greater than r or 2r square, something like this, then this is zero. Okay, so I don't allow collisions between particles that are too fast. And then I can legitimately say that the things are controlled by this rho. So we say that if we have an estimate of this sort, if rho is controlled in L infinity, say like this, and so this is a function of t which is allowed to grow, but does not become plus infinity, then f is a strong solution. Okay. And so we were interested in this question. And so this is a joint work with André Birouk. Walter Craig and myself. So let's say that f naught, the initial data, is a certain nice function. So it's non-negative and nice. I don't want to specify what nice is. Is the strong solution global in time. So we are interested in the question of global existence or finite time blow up for this problem. We have an answer. That in some particular cases, the answer is yes. But there are some critical threshold. So there is a certain parameter that enters the picture, and so if if our data are sufficiently small in a certain sense, then we have global existence. If our data are larger, then the answer is that we may possibly have a blow up. And so to improve, so as a possible way to improve this result, this is the point why I'm mentioning this averaging argument. But let me first mention a few things about this equation. So to formulate a question, so I will be not answering this question, but I would like to formulate it. Well, first of all, so for this equation that I wrote here, this is say 1D Boltzmann. So there is one particular solution. Which is the following. So F, which is write it as M. So this is what is called a Maxwellian. So basically a Gaussian that is rotationally invariant, so something like this. So A, B, and C are constants. B is a constant vector. So this is a solution that satisfies Q of M equals 0. And then if these parameters are constants, then it will also satisfy this equation. So there is a particular solution. And basically, so all the energy estimates that can be gathered about this equation can be put together in one functional. So there is a functional which I call the entropy, or the relative entropy, so which is this one. So I take F log F over M minus F. I hope I'm writing it right. Yes, go ahead. Let's see now. So M cancels. Okay, so it's just like this. There's something I don't like about it. Okay, so let's just say. So basically what I, so there is a certain functional which is related to the quantities that are dissipated for this equation. So basically there is consideration of mass, momentum, and energy that can be included into this condition. Log M is a quadratic polynomial in V, and then so basically that includes the consideration of mass, momentum, and energy estimates. And there is a certain estimate of dissipation of entropy, which has to do with F log F, which is also encoded in this functional. Okay? So basically, this functional has the property that this is less than H of F naught M. Okay? So it's non-increasing on the solutions of this problem. And so because of this, it's natural to think of this this equation as an equation in this space. My space of functions will be so all f that satisfy the condition H of F M is finite for some M. Okay. And well, because of the properties of this functional, if it's finite for one M, then it's finite for all the others. So this is basically the space that I may call like this, L log L over M. Okay. So this is again. So there is a f logarithm f entering this. So this is a little bit better than L1, but not as good as L2, for example. And so this is what's natural for the evolution of this problem. And so we have this result that I mentioned. So the theorem that that I mentioned with the names Periuk, Craig, and myself. So if F naught is nice and H of F naught M is less than or equal to some critical value, then strong solution is global. And we have some simplified inequalities that we obtain from the problem that that possibly give us blow up when this value is exceeded. So the question, I guess I'll formulate my question. And I don't have much time here. So we don't believe that this condition should actually be there. I don't believe that we actually have a critical phenomenon here that has to do with a particular value of entropy. So here is the setting for averaging lemma. So we want to look at functions that live in this space L log L over M. So for this quantity, so for the derivative, which is basically the nonlinear term, so we have some estimates. I'll write it as X, and X is something that that we can work on. So the estimate that we use to obtain this result with a critical threshold value is so we basically use that rho is satisfies the condition that is bounded in L log L. So something like integral of rho log rho dx is finite. So if we have an improvement, so this I should write as L infinity in time, L log L is in X. So if we can improve this estimate on rho to get it into a space like this, L log 1 plus epsilon L in X. So if we can add a little bit more integrability for this microscopic density, then our method gives us global existence. Okay, and I find this an interesting setting for an average lemma. So what we know about this, say the microscopic densities of the solution. So by the results of Lyons and Gauss and so on. So we have that rho has some estimate indicating the strong compactness in L1, so which does not imply that it has better integrability than L log L, of course, but it's something. So the idea that I would like to think of is how to improve the regularity of rho using an averaging estimate to use it as an improvement of this result that I mentioned. Okay, and I guess I'm terribly out of time, so I have to stop here. Thank you very much.